All right, now some of you may recall 2 weeks ago, I had an opportunity to speak with you on Tuesday morning. We talked about, well, should I tell you? Do any of you remember? Two Tuesdays ago? Was that too long ago? All right. Okay, fair enough, fair enough. We talked about the miracles of Jesus 2 weeks ago, and we made a central point as we were discussing the lesson that there's always a spiritual truth that's illustrated by the miracles of Jesus. Jesus never performed a miracle just for show or just to attract attention or just to prove that he could. There was always some lesson to be learned. So today, if you'll join me in Mark chapter 8, I would like to read one miracle story there, just in those brief five verses together with you. Let's study that, and let's come to an understanding what the spiritual truth is and what lessons we can learn based on reading that story. It's an unusual story. Jesus did some very unusual things as part of this miracle, healing the blind man in Mark chapter 8. I don't say it's a very dramatic and attention-getting miracle. It's not. In many ways, it's very, very quiet and private. But I think you'll see as we read the story, it is unusual. And so we'll discuss that. Why don't we pray together? I invite you to join me in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing. Then we'll discuss the chapter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be gathered together today and to open your word, to study the message and the lesson you've given to us today. We do ask that you would bless and guide in our hearts and our thoughts, allow us to learn the truth you have for us, and not only to learn it, to apply it to our lives. We pray you'd bless the time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now I've got to find it in my Bible, and I'll read it together with you, Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. That's where we'll start. And please notice on your handout, there are some questions to be answered there, so you might be able to scan ahead quickly and see some of the upcoming questions. And as we read through, you might be able to answer some of those questions already. Mark chapter 8, verse 22, "And he cometh to Bethsaida." This is Jesus together with his disciples. They're traveling along the ministry path, "and he cometh to Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught, if he saw anything. Verse 24, "And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town." Okay, that's the end of our story there. That is a little bit unusual. I recall several years ago, I was teaching a course on the topic of the life of Christ in the Gospels, and as I remember this pretty vividly, it was in that room right over there, and in the middle of whatever lesson I was trying to give that day, a girl in the class raised her hand and got my attention, and she said, "I've been reading in the Gospels. I read Mark chapter 8 about the man that Jesus had to heal twice." And she said, "What's that all about?" And so we stopped right then and there, and I said, "That is a pretty unusual story, isn't it?" And so we had a lesson on this story, this miracle right here, even though that wasn't part of the plan for the day. We talked about it. Let's do that this morning. Let's talk about it. The miracle is not there just for interest or curiosity. There's a lesson we're supposed to learn. So I give you a little bit of a worksheet there, a little bit of guidance questions, so we can come to what's really the central point here. What's going on? So let me ask you this. First of all, who would you say are the main characters in this story? The main people. Somebody said Jesus. Okay, write that down. Jesus, yes, he's the miracle worker. There he is. He's the one who's traveling. He's the one who's stopped, and they get his attention, and they brought a man to him. Okay, who would you say is another main character in the story? The blind man. So there we have it. Can you picture in your mind? Can you use your imagination? Here on the one side, here's a man who's blind. He can't see anything. He has to be brought to Jesus. The verse indicates somebody. We don't know who, but somebody brought him to Jesus. He can't see. On the other hand, here's Jesus, and kind of facing him, and we begin to wonder what's going to happen. What will be the outcome? Can Jesus heal him? Will Jesus heal him? How about any secondary characters in this story besides the blind man and Jesus? Anybody else? There's somebody. Yeah, the person's not named. We don't know who. We don't know how many. But somebody had to lead the blind man to Jesus. Keep that in mind. It's not the main point of the story, but just keep that in mind. The blind man didn't come himself. Somebody else brought him. And that's going to be a little bit important later on when we discuss the next question there. Anybody else? Anyone else? The disciples were with Jesus. They were traveling with Jesus. And that's important. Now, the disciples didn't do any healing here. They didn't do any speaking. They really didn't do anything but stand and watch. Okay? So in our imagination, we've got the blind man on one side and somebody who led him to Jesus. We've got Jesus on the other side, but keep in your imagination, those 12 disciples are with Jesus. So they're watching this whole thing. They're observing. Now look at that third question. Is there anybody in this story who seems to be intentionally left out? And it figures into our understanding of what the story is about. Anybody that's intentionally excluded? The townspeople. She said the townspeople. Yeah. So they're in Bethsaida, which is, you know, it's a town of some size. And Jesus intentionally, very intentionally says, this is one of the unusual features of the story. He says to the man, let's go out of the town. Jesus took him by the hand, which shows intention, in addition to the fact that the man was blind. So whoever it was who brought the man to Jesus, that person or those people were left behind. Jesus took the man personally by the hand. He said, let's go over there, outside of the town. Okay, all right. So those friends of the blind man, they're left behind. Everybody standing around in the busy town square, they were all left behind. Jesus and the blind man and the disciples went outside the town. Private place, private moment. Okay, does that make sense so far? All right, that's important. All of that's important. There they are in a quiet, private place, just Jesus, the blind man, and the disciples. Now, question number two on your notes here. What's the main problem that needs to be addressed? This is not a trick question. It's not meant to be complicated. Don't think too hard about it. As the story is told, what comes to your mind? There's a big dramatic question here. You say it again?
He's blind.
The man is blind. All right. So that's the big question that's on our mind. Will Jesus heal the man? Can Jesus heal the man? Now, we've read the rest of the Gospels. We know that Jesus can do it. He's healed other people who are sick. He's healed other people who are blind. And those friends brought the blind man to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to touch him, it says. And that means, of course, they want him to be healed is what they want. Yeah, and so the question is on our mind. Now, when specifically is that problem resolved or that question answered? And we come to a conclusion. Okay, I see the outcome now. Specifically. Anybody want to take a stab at that? Very specific moment. Yes, ma'am.
You mean when is it resolved? Did you say when is it resolved?
Yes.
After he does it twice, and the metaphor, that has a lot of metaphor reasons to it, but
yeah.
His sight, it took time for him to see, and how long does it take time for us to see? It's a process, whatever, but it took two times for him to actually be able to see.
Okay. Well, I'll go back to my Bible text here, and look at, I believe it's verse 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. So even reading the first half of verse 25, we don't know how things are going to finally turn out. But then it says, he made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. So really, not until that final portion of verse 25 do we see, oh, okay, the man can see clearly now. Before it says, I see people like trees walking, very, very fuzzy. Okay.
So, say he was blind from birth, so I'm guessing maybe it wasn't from birth.
All right. So there's a couple possibilities. Very thoughtful question. Very thoughtful question. A couple of possibilities. So Jolene points out the man could have been afflicted with blindness later in life. Yeah, so that's possible. Maybe he'd seen a tree before. But I'll tell you, we know some blind people. even if he'd never seen a tree before, he certainly hears people talking about trees. He's felt a tree. He understands what a comparison is. You know, it's not as if a blind person couldn't refer to a tree.
He could have felt, I mean, if he felt a tree, what a tree feels like, and kind of imagined in his mind,
yeah.
He could have done the same thing with a human being. That a human being has arms and legs and stuff and felt a
sure.
human being to imagine.
Well, he's making a comparison to point out that everything's fuzzy, everything's unclear. After the first time Jesus touched him, he saw the people. He said, I see people, but they don't look clear. So he's given us a comparison. Well, he's talking to Jesus and the disciples, but he's given them a comparison. What does it look like now, Jesus asked him. Since we're talking about it, let's skip ahead just a step. We're already kind of transitioning to what are some of the unusual features of this story. Why did Jesus ask the man? What the biggest question that's on our mind when we read that story, I think, if you can imagine reading it for the very first time, the biggest question on your mind is, why did Jesus heal him twice? You know? But since you've already brought it up, why did Jesus ask the question? We're not yet to the point where we're discussing why did Jesus heal him two times or why did Jesus touch him two times, but why did Jesus ask the man the question? He asked him if he saw anything. Why did Jesus ask him that? Yes? Sure. Okay, so in all that crowd, there's 12 disciples, there's Jesus, there's a blind man. If I'm doing my math right, that's 14 people. Out of all that crowd, Jesus knew what the man saw, and the man knew what the man saw. But there was 12 of them that didn't know what he saw. And so Jesus asked the question because he's getting to a spiritual lesson. Those 12 disciples standing around, they don't know. Unless the man says, okay, what do you see now? Well, I see things, but it's unclear. It's a little bit blurry. So what we're kind of getting toward here on down the page is this miracle is a spiritual lesson. It's a lesson. There's a lesson that needs to be learned. So why even ask the question? You know, for whose benefit did Jesus ask the question? Did he need the information himself? No, he did not. Did the blind man need the information? No, because he knew what he saw. It was the disciples standing around. They needed to hear, otherwise they wouldn't know. So that helps us make a transition here. We're talking about still, what point are we on? Number two, the main issue, the main problem that needed to be addressed. The man was blind. He couldn't see. When specifically was that problem resolved? Well, when it says in the end of verse 25, now he sees every man clearly. And that transitions us to point number three, some unusual features of this story. There are a few unusual features in this story. First of all, this miracle story only appears in this one place in the Bible. You say, well, I don't see how that's so unusual. It's told in the Gospel of Mark. And you might not realize this, but Mark's Gospel shares most of its content. It's something like 92% or 93% of the contents of Mark's Gospel appears somewhere else in some other Gospel. So it's very rare for Mark to tell any particular story that only appears in his gospel and nowhere else. All right, you might still be wondering. Yes?
Where was Mark from? Do we know?
Jerusalem. That's where he lived.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question. So Mark's full name or second name, John Mark. He's mentioned in Acts. His mother's name was Mary. And
did he have relatives there? Is why he mentioned it? I mean, could that be a possibility?
In Bethsaida? I don't think so. I mean, not that I know of. No, this is way up north, pretty far north of Jerusalem. So anyway, okay, so one unusual feature of this story, very obviously Mark has intentionally included this particular story at this particular time in his gospel account. It's very rare to read any story that Mark includes that nobody else includes. So there it is. That's one feature that's pretty unusual. A second feature of this story that's unusual is the privacy of it. And I did a little study in a Bible commentary. It says that Jesus took the man by the hand and led him out of the town. the expression is a double expression. And when you say in the original Greek language of the Bible, he led the man out of the town, it adds emphasis. It's like putting a bold on that text. It's like highlighting it. Very intentionally, Jesus said, we've got to do this away from the town, away from the crowds, even away from the man's friends in a private place. Again, what does that tell us? This is very, very intentional. It's not an accident. It's not, oh, by the way, I'll quickly heal this blind man, and then we'll get back to our business. Jesus is doing something with the disciples in private. It is meant to be a discipleship lesson. That's what I'm getting at. Just so there's no confusion in what I'm saying, this particular miracle is a discipleship lesson. Just Jesus and the blind man and the disciples. You probably also noticed at the conclusion of the story, Jesus said to the man, he gave the man instructions, and what did he say? Don't tell anybody about this. This miracle here is not meant for public consumption. It's not meant to be the headlines in next morning's newspaper. It's not for every other person in the town. This particular miracle is for this group right here. These disciples need this lesson right at this time. Okay, another unusual feature about this story. I don't know how many blanks I give you, and I don't know how many we're up to at this point, but another unusual feature of this story is the two touches, the two healings. That's probably the one thing that attracts our attention most of all. When we read the story, we say, huh, what, why? Two different times Jesus touched the man. That's unusual. Just in case you were wondering, you might have guessed this already, but this is the only time that ever happened in the Bible that there was a healing. Okay, well, on we go. That's my fourth or fifth observation. Unusual features in this story. Taking the man by the hand, spitting on his eyes. You read that and you say, well, that's different. I don't know that Jesus ever did that on it. Yeah. No, he didn't. Yes. Yes. The Ephata story, right?
Yes.
Be loosed.
I only know that because there's a crossroads.
Okay, and that's interesting because I'd mentioned a minute ago this story about this blind man only told in Mark. That particular story, too, that is the one other miracle that only Mark tells. That's nowhere else in the Gospels. That particular story. So this, this very, very personal interaction. What are we supposed to understand about all of that? It's extremely personal. You have to admit. That's very personal, isn't it? A very personal interaction. Yeah. Okay, so we're left with a question in our mind. Why this healing in stages? Why two touches? What does it mean? What's it all about? Let's look at the context, please. Context is always important when you're studying a Bible passage and you're wondering what's it all about. Is there anything that comes before this story that might help us to see what the lesson is about here? Is there anything that comes after this story that might help us to see what the lesson is about? Would you join me in just going up a few verses right before this story is told? And we'll look at Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 17. Here's Jesus interacting with his disciples. Just before the story of this miracle, this might give you some indication what exactly the disciples needed to learn from this miracle, okay? Jesus warned his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples immediately assumed that Jesus meant that he was upset that they hadn't brought enough food. Now think about that for a moment. Is that the conclusion you would come to? I'm just asking you, if Jesus were here and he gave you a warning, now beware of the leaven of the religious authorities, would you immediately say, oh, I see, he's upset, we haven't brought enough lunch? No, and the disciples came to that conclusion right away, and Jesus said, are you not learning anything from what you're observing here? Did you not see me feed 5,000 people? I'm not concerned that we don't have enough lunch. If we're missing lunch, believe me, I can take care of it. You know, I'm not talking about lunch. I'm trying to give you a spiritual lesson. But look at what Jesus said here. Specifically, verse 17, Mark 8, 17. When Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because we have no bread? Notice these words, please. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Look at verse 18. Do you see verse 18? Having eyes, see ye not? Now that's a very striking phrase, isn't it? Look at verse 21. And he said unto them, unto who? The disciples. He said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? How could that possibly be at this phase of your discipleship progress? This is about, by the way, this is approximately 6 months before the crucifixion. So these disciples have been interacting with Jesus for some time now, a couple of years. And Jesus is asking them a question. How is it that your spiritual eyesight is so foggy? How can that be? Now, right after the story we've just read, what happens? Well, Jesus is just about to be transfigured before Peter, James, and John. It's the story of the transfiguration. But before that, Jesus gives a discipleship lesson to his disciples and asks them, who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and he gave a great answer. He said, we believe you are the Christ, verse 29. And so verse 29 is a story of Peter having really good spiritual vision. But all you have to do is skip down to verse 32 and see that Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke him. So this is the spiritual position the disciples are in their growth, their Christian life right now, their walk with Jesus. They can see some things pretty clearly, like Peter standing up and saying, we believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey, ladies, is that a good answer or what? That's a good answer. The man had spiritual vision. You say, how do you know? Because Jesus told him, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So Peter had a spiritual perception, but then right away he turns around and he takes Jesus and rebukes him. No, you are not going to go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed. That's not going to happen to you. So do you see his eyesight is like he's got that spiritual astigmatism. He's got the spiritual double vision going on. You know what I mean? He's got the eyesight, but it's blurry. It's blurry. Now what does that remind you of? Reminds you an awful lot of this fellow here who Jesus touched him once and he said, I see the people, I see the men, but they're fuzzy. They kind of look like bushes, you know? They're fuzzy. Now, I'm blessed with pretty decent eyesight, so I don't necessarily identify, but some folks who wear the corrective lenses and the eyeglasses, they tell me if I don't have my glasses, it's bad. It's bad. Everything's fuzzy. You know, I put the glasses on, everything's clear, take them off, it's all fuzzy. So, all right, well, maybe that makes sense to you. This man who was touched twice by Jesus, we wonder, why did Jesus touch him twice? Is it because Jesus lacked the power somehow? Or, you know, something went wrong in the process? He didn't do the thing just right? No, of course not. Of course not. It's a lesson. It's a very vivid object lesson for those disciples who, spiritually speaking, were in exactly that same position as that man. Like, they could see things, but they couldn't either. And hey, I have to tell you, ladies, we can identify with that so clearly and strongly in our lives and our Christian growth. None of us has got to the point where we're absolutely 100% spiritually perceptive all the time. All of us need a little bit of help from Jesus. We all need one more touch, you know, to take us to the next step, to help our spiritual perspective to be better than it was, correcting our foggy eyesight, spiritual eyesight. So does that make sense so far? Some lessons we can learn from that, sure. All right, what an unusual story. The only place this story appears in the Gospels. Some very unusual things happen. What are some of the spiritual truths illustrated? I give this to you quickly. I got to head over to the chapel in a couple minutes, but some things we can consider as spiritual truths might be illustrated by this story. First of all, I observe it's very intentional. You might think at first reading, well, there was some accident, but no, you read it a second and a third time, very intentional. The whole thing that happened here, Jesus taking the man by the hand, leading him to a certain specific private place, this is all very intentional. It's not an accident. This is meant to be a lesson. Secondly, I observe a spiritual truth here. This is an internal lesson, not an external show. Some of these points we've already mentioned already, but the privacy of the situation, not meant to be a public show for the whole entire town. In Mark chapter 8, verse 12, this same context, Jesus was asked for a sign. He sighed deeply in his spirit and he said, "Why does this generation seek after a sign?" This miracle was not meant to be a big dramatic show, not meant to be a sign, meant to be an internal lesson. Also, I observe what we've already said. This miracle is strongly illustrative of the disciples in their discipleship process. They had a measure of spiritual vision, but it was not complete and it was not totally clear. And that's probably the main spiritual truth illustrated by this story that we can all identify with. We all need a little more help from Jesus to clear up our vision. And finally, just a quick observation, what do we need in order to get that help from the Lord? Well, we need humility. We need dependence. Come to the man, like the man came to Jesus, he was blind. He had to have help. He wasn't telling Jesus how things ought to be. He was completely dependent on the Lord. And so you and I, we have to really admit humbly before God, I think I can see some things clearly, but to be honest, I need more help, and I need your help. So the disciples needed to learn that spiritual lesson, a private lesson, private situation, just for their understanding and their consumption, just for them to see that illustration of their own spiritual need. But you and I need this story as well. We need to read that story, and after we get past some of the unusual features of the story and we understand the spiritual truth there, we need to identify and say, yep, that's me. I stand in need myself. So what we're going to do now, we're going to conclude. I'll stop talking. And when you have your table time there, the final portion, what are some personal applications we could make from that, lessons we can learn personally? And how could we apply that to our lives this week or even today? Okay, thank you all. Thanks for being here.